Molly Antipol's new book, The Un-Americans, is getting a bit of a buzz. It's long-listed for the National Book Awards, which will be announced Wednesday. It's a collection of short stories about seemingly ordinary people, but the retiree in California is actually a communist organizer who'd also fled the Nazis. A quiet grandmother fought the Nazis. She suddenly tells her granddaughter how at 13 she crawled through a filthy sewer hole in Belarus to join a pack of resistance teenagers, partisans living in the forest. If this were a movie, she'd be played by Jennifer Lawrence, a la The Hunger Games. But in Molly Antipol's hands, the grandmother describes her 13-year-old self as almost feral.
There I was, 13 years old, and stumbling around in someone else's boots, looking more hideous than I could have imagined. I hadn't been in front of a mirror since back home with my parents, I realized, and in that time I had become an ugly girl. My hair was greasy and knotted and so beaten by the elements that it was a shade lighter. Black circles rimmed my eyes. Scabs dotted my chin and forehead and lips. My teeth had gone as rotten and brown as tree roots. In only a couple months, I had become a Medusa, a monster, a creature from the forest of a fairy tale.
Molly Antipol mined much of her own family history for these stories. She joins us from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. And Molly, you say it started with your communist grandparents.
I come from a very big family of storytellers, and I just grew up by tales of surveillance and tapped lines and the dinnertime visits from the FBI. And then as I wrote, I got very interested in a lot of my family history farther back in Eastern Europe, and I began traveling there on research grants and just doing a lot more research there.
And the book is called The Un-Americans, the House Un-American Committee mentioned. But what else did you mean by the Un-Americans?
The first connotation the word un-American came up for me was the Red Scare and, you know, and was the witch hunts. But the more that I wrote and the more that I thought about that word, I became really fascinated by the complicated meaning that the word un-American might have to this current generation of Israelis who are forced to contend every day with their country's very messy and very symbiotic relationship to America. Also, while I wrote, I kept thinking about this notion of un-Americanness for my East European characters, who are dissidents and academics. For so many of them, they've risked their lives for their politics in their mother countries. And yet when they come to the U.S., they have to reinvent their identities, a country where they're treated as anything but American.
In one story, there were the famous dissidents from Czechoslovakia. They come to the U.S. The husband becomes a celebrated professor invited to colleges. The wife retreats. She actually starts cleaning houses. But then the husband also, as Czechoslovakia fades from the headlines and is replaced by other revolutions, he also fades.
Yeah, that was something I thought a lot about. It was, you know, when I was writing, I was trying very hard not to think about what the overall theme would be for the book. I really just tried to work on each story and let each story be told by a very different person in a very different setting. So, you know, I have male and female, American, Israeli, and East European narrators. But the one thing that just kept coming up for me over and over again was, what is it like to dedicate your entire life to a cause that loses relevance in the course of world events? And what do you do with yourself after that? Mm-hmm. And so with the story that you were talking about, I kept thinking for that narrator whether he might have had a niggling feeling of nostalgia for this very bleak time simply because he held a significant place in it.
During the Czech Revolution. Well, some of your other characters include daughters who interrogate older characters. Is that you?
Yes, I definitely was the girl growing up who probably asked too many questions at family dinners and family parties. And I think that while I was writing this book, something that struck me was, why am I so interested in these dark parts of history that so many people in the older generations of my family have tried to move past? One thing that it's pretty similar throughout my family is that, you know, people love to tell stories and they're all pretty funny about things. And oftentimes the darker the story is, the more they try to search for humor within that darkness.
Like what?
Oh, you know, I mean, all of these stories about, you know, my grandparents, you know, being surveilled and those dinnertime visits from the FBI. I mean, that's just that level of surveillance and of being watched, and for their children who have inherited all of this political heaviness, to me, that is so incredibly dark and so intense. But there's a way that they are able to find the humor in these bleak places. And that was something that I've always really admired about them and something that I found myself exploring in my own fiction. But the one place that I never heard anything about was Antipol, which is where my last name is from. It's a mm-hmm. really small village in Belarus. You know, the family that had come over and had come to New York, I had heard their stories, and everyone who had stayed had died. And about 14 years ago, I was living in Israel, and I wound up at a friend of a friend's, and I met an elderly woman who was from Antipol. And she was the first person I had ever met from this village. And she led me to this enormous book. It's called a Yisker book that was written in Hebrew and Yiddish and English that was essentially an oral history of the village. And I remember the moment I was in my kitchen in Tel Aviv, and the moment that I finished this book on the village of Antipol, that was really when I first started trying to imagine this book that I would later write.
And so you have a little girl crawling through a sewer system to escape the Nazis.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there are the immigrants who don't want to remember, and then the characters that won't let go. The grandmother who tells this incredible story to her granddaughter. At the end, she almost scolds the granddaughter. She says, "Your mother told me something once that I know now is true. I never stopped thinking people wanted to hurt me, even when they no longer did."
Yeah, I think about that a lot. And actually, that was the line that really was the thing that really helped me figure out how to write this story. I had been living in Israel. This was a different time than the time that I had mentioned. And I was working at an immigrant absorption center with Russian and Chechen kids. You know, they'd come to Israel, and in the schools, they were learning about these partisan fighters, and they were learning about this, what Israel was calling kind of a heroic time during World War II for the Jews. And for me, growing up in the States, I just, you know, that was not what I heard. You know, I had heard only, you know, the story of the camps. And so I became really fascinated. I went to partisan camps in Eastern Europe and, you know, and spent like a year and a half researching this story. But it just felt so researched. Like I could just kind of feel the work that I had done in the archives, and I could feel the interviews that I had conducted. And I thought, you know what, I can't figure out the people well enough. And I put it aside. I think it was almost 2 years later. I was, you know, as far from, you know, Israel as I could be. I was swimming in a lake in upstate New York. And I suddenly, that line about this woman feeling like she could never get over that feeling of people wanting to hurt her just really struck me. And I was in the middle of this lake. And I said, "Okay, Molly, you can't get out of the lake until you figure out the opening paragraph to this story." And it was a cold lake. But I said, "I'm not getting out until I figure out this opening." And I did. And I stayed in there. And I realized that the tension of the story was someone from the older generation who's still so worried about being hurt and is kind of ashamed of that she still is carrying that feeling. And yet she also feels very upset that her granddaughter, who has a much easier life than she does and is growing up in the States, why she's so obsessed with these very bleak parts of history that this grandmother in many ways would want to forget. And once I figured out that the story was really about that tension, then the story just opened up and I was really able to write it.
I'm just going to read a little of that first paragraph that came to you in the lake. "Some say the story begins in Europe, and your mother would no doubt interrupt and say, 'It begins in New York,' but that's just because she can't imagine the world before she entered it." And that's the world that you've been exploring. Molly Antipol's short story collection is called The Un-Americans. It's long listed for the National Book Awards. Molly, thank you.
Take care. Thanks again.